We laughingly refer to this as the South Dakota State Daycare Center now.
Rick Langenfeld is a 36-year-old inmate at the South Dakota Penitentiary.
That's what it is. It's not about us becoming better people or, you know, changing and becoming good citizens of society. It's all about warehousing us. You know.
A warehouse, he says, that treats everyone the same regardless of age. But the young inmates do stand out. Corrections officials will not provide a breakdown of the prison population based on age and crime. They will only say most of the young boys at the penitentiary are serving time for drug and alcohol offenses, burglaries, and assault. Most will get out eventually, and few are labeled as violent. Paul Dean Jensen was convicted of first-degree murder at the age of 14. He was one of the first teenagers sentenced as an adult. Jensen shot a peer cab driver 3 times after robbing him of $30. He was sentenced shortly after his 15th birthday. He's 18 now, with long brown hair pulled back in a ponytail and a scraggly goatee, wearing the regulation white t-shirt and blue jeans. He sits handcuffed to a metal table that's bolted to the wall. The sterile, boomy 4x4 interview room reverberates every sound.
I'm not really violent, you know. Like I said, I'm mature, like, you know, I ain't trying to be a stupid kid anymore. And that's what got me trouble in the first place, being a stupid kid that didn't know what he wanted to be or who he wanted to be.
Jensen says he would have ended up in the pen eventually because he made friends with older troublemakers whom he was always trying to impress. According to court documents, the judge passed the harshest sentence possible because Paul Jensen showed no remorse. He's more comfortable talking about the present than the past, saying only he was a stupid kid and he's changed. Jensen says he matured in prison and received a GED, but the class he lives every day is crime 101.
You learn how to do a lot of crime, get away. You do. You see all kinds of stuff, like fighting and stabbing and stuff like that. You know, you learn how to do all kinds of stuff because you talk to all kinds of people that have done all kinds of crimes and they tell you about their crime, you know.
Jensen thinks he was too young to receive a life sentence without the possibility of parole. He says with the right environment and positive influences, he could have turned his life around. Sherlyn Jensen, Paul's mother, agrees. She says she's still angry with a legal system that never focused on what her son needed.
It wasn't about the juvenile and the crime. What can we do? What needs to be done? It was about what laws need to be passed. How much money can we make from those laws being passed? You know, where does this benefit our state? Not just where does this benefit our juveniles?
Paul Jensen was tried as an adult because in South Dakota, there's only one option for teenage murderers. His mother says Paul should have been sent to one of the handful of states that offer rehabilitation for violent teens. These programs also set them free at age 21. However, the state is under no obligation to send juveniles convicted of murder to out-of-state facilities. South Dakota receives federal money for Jensen and other juveniles housed in the adult prison. South Dakota legislators voted this session to send juveniles to death row. Sherlyn Jensen insists Paul is an honorable and loving man who needs counseling to deal with his problems, not punishment. Paul Jensen doesn't see a counselor, and he's forced to analyze himself. He says it's a daily struggle to resist trouble because older inmates coerce the kids into fighting guards and other inmates.
Prison never really has helped many people or rehabilitated too many people.
Richard Quigley is the director of Minnesota's Woodland Hills. It's a treatment program for kids coming out of juvenile court. He says throwing a kid in an adult prison is a quick and easy fix to keep the scary kids off the street.
You tell me that is going to be some kind of a cure, or it'll keep the child off the street, but you will eventually have to deal with that person.
Minnesota practices what's called extended juvenile jurisdiction. Most violent teenagers receive a sentence in both juvenile and adult court. If a kid stays clean for long enough to satisfy the juvenile court sentence, he's free. But if he messes up, he has to serve his adult sentence.
I've seen youngsters with prison sentences over their heads, and maybe these are 16 or 17-year-olds, of 90 months or 120 months or 150 months or so many years in prison if they don't straighten up and utilize the juvenile system seriously.
What works, says Larry Brentro, for troubled teens is to balance a need for accountability while keeping people and communities safe. Brentro believes nearly every kid can be turned around. The president of Reclaiming Youth International says the solution to antisocial behavior is having adults show kids they care.
Not in some kind of touchy-feely sense, but in a sense of saying, to use the zero tolerance term, you know, this is not acceptable behavior. And we're not going to give up on you.
Brentro says the juvenile court system was created as a way to get kids out of adult jails because it works. There's a clear scientific approach, according to Brentro, to fighting delinquency and crime.
When one discovers that the science of school bullying tells us that an 8-year-old school bully has a 50% chance of being an adult felon at age 24, then any informed person would certainly see we should put our resources, you know, into that kind of prevention.
But he says even though it's tough to save some kids, now we're giving up before we even try. Larry Brentro points to a program in Idaho as a model for other states to follow. Idaho developed a separate juvenile department of corrections, and it's allocating money to the counties to open detention and counseling facilities. The restorative justice approach makes communities and families more responsible for troubled teens. Sioux Falls family counselor J.C. Chambers says the approach is an effective way to reach out to kids.
It's training people how to meaningfully and fearlessly involve themselves with scary kids. You know, and so what we're seeing is that it's easy to kind of build walls in prisons and security systems because these kids scare us, you know. It's a little more difficult to get in the cell, take the handcuffs off and say, okay, talk to me about why you do what you do. And it's a little more difficult to get past this generation's bravado. But underneath, they're still kids.
Paul Dean Jensen, who is also a kid, will serve the rest of his life in the South Dakota State Penitentiary. He focuses on personal goals. He wants to stay out of what inmates refer to as the hole, an isolation cell, and he wants to stay off medication. But he still dreams of getting out one day.
I do want to have a family, right? And that's one of the things that hangs over my head now. You know, I want to have a family. But what can I do for them, you know, in here? And out there, you know, I stay out of trouble then, you know, because it's for my family. I mean, that's one of the most important things for me, is my family.
Without this dream, he says he'll be hopeless and in the hole. Sherlyn Jensen's dreams for her son are a little more simple and perhaps more realistic. Just stay out of trouble. She worries, though, about her son becoming violent.
And whether he can handle it. Because I know that my son doesn't want to be violent or hurt anybody. But you gotta protect yourself. And I've told him, I'll stand by him if he has to protect himself.
Paul Jensen was one of the youngest inmates in South Dakota ever sentenced to life. He's considered one of the old-timers now. Sherlyn Jensen says until the system changes for teens like her son, it's every man or boy for himself within the walls of the penitentiary. In Sioux Falls, I'm Kara Hetland, Minnesota Public Radio.